John chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. I'll read aloud as you read silently. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for this time of season. As we just read in the text, this is what it's all about. Now, Father, we love You and praise You and thank You this morning as we've done in song and now in prayer. Father, we ask this morning that You'd help us to hear what You have for us individually today as Pastor Johnson comes and preaches. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be better for being here today. God, work in our lives and our hearts powerfully. Father, for this to be accomplished, the Holy Spirit needs to work first in Pastor Johnson, anoint him for that task, and help us to hear what You have for us. If there's someone in this room this morning, Father, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would get that settled. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, remind yourself, please, that they're plowing the snow off the highways and the roads and the mountains, and if your cell phone goes off in the service, they're going to dump it all in front of your door. And so you don't want to have to dig your way into the house today, so make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. We would appreciate that very much. Please keep your Bibles open this morning. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Does that look like a Christmas verse to you? And the Word, and the Word, notice capital W, O-R-D in your Bibles. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I love everything in the Bible about the account of Jesus' birth. I like the star and the shepherd and the wise men, and I like the manger scene and all of that. I think it's great. And during this time of year, I deliberately adjust my Bible reading so I can read through the Gospels at this time, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read through there, especially in the first parts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as it talks about the birth of Christ and about all the particulars that are involved in that and all the little things, the details to me are so interesting. And they she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. And those are just poor man rags that they wrapped the Savior in. And all the things about, I love all of that. And of course, this time of year, contrary to the ACLU's wishes, there are actually manger scenes around that you can see with the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph there in a stable. The manger is the feeding trough, obviously, where they laid him. And then usually they have the wise men at the manger scene, and we know that they weren't there. They came a couple of years later, but it's all right. I don't care. Put them in there too. That works. And you get to see those sort of things. It's not Christmas without a manger scene. It's just not. And all the things that we associate with Christmas and the birth of Christ are all wonderful. They're in the Bible. There are parts that we ought to consider and see. And I hope that you'll take the time over these next days as Christmas approaches to read over the accounts in Scripture and see the things that God has for there. There's a lot of great truths. Hey, there's a lot of interesting stuff in the people who missed Christmas. Herod in the palace and the scribes and all those people. Plus, the vast majority of the people who lived at that time were not aware that Jesus came into this world. But did you know the real Christmas story isn't about shepherds and a star? It isn't about wise men. That's a part of the story, but that's not the purpose of Christ, Christmas, Christ sent. See, the real Christmas story is, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Look in your Bibles in the book of John, please, chapter 1, verse 1. The Word here in your King James Bible, which you ought to have, the Word here is always capitalized because it's talking about a person and not a word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, 2. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then you go down to the scriptures there, and it talks about Him being the light of the world, etc. Then you get to verse 14, and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, John 1 tells us that the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we understand from John 1:14 that when the Word was made flesh, God came in human flesh. And who is that? That's verse 17. And the law, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the Word is Jesus, creator of everything. And the Bible says, was God, and by the way, is God still, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Please remember that the Trinity is not Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, equal and yet separate. You say, Pastor Johnson, that doesn't make any sense. Good. Then you have a good sense about you. Because there's nothing common sense about the Trinity. I cannot even begin to explain to you how God can be three persons yet one God. I don't understand that. I'll never be able to explain it to you. And frankly, your little finite mind and my finite mind is never going to be able to get a hold of it either. Three, yet one. You say, well, which one is it? Father, Son, or Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we won't take the time to explain the Trinity to you from the Bible, but it is taught everywhere from Genesis to the Revelation. It is a principle of Scripture, and it's the way God wants us to know and understand Him, and it's the way God is. But when the Word became flesh, it means God the Son took upon Himself the form of a servant. See, John chapter 1, verse 14 is a great Christmas verse because it's the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Just like John 3:16 is a great Christmas verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know the Christmas verse that's not associated with it, but is a great Christmas verse. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 to 8. We'll turn there in just a moment, not right now, but we'll turn there in a moment. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but the Bible says, made Himself in the likeness of men and humbled Himself. See, that's what happened. That's what Christmas is about. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what that is. So when you see that little baby lying in a manger wrapped in clothing there, swaddling clothing, that's the Word became flesh. Oh, there's so many wonderful things about that. But I was thinking this morning, we read Matthew and Mark and Luke about the birth of Christ. We get to John and say, where's the Christmas account in the book of John? John 1 and verse 14, and the Word became flesh. God came in human flesh. That's why the angel told Joseph that his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's why the Old Testament prophets would call Him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, and the Word became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us, and His name is Jesus. Listen now, His name is Jesus. God in human flesh. Do you understand how much that sets Him apart from all others? Man born in flesh, I understand that. Human being born in flesh, I understand that. God in flesh, that separates Him from all others. That's why this time of year needs to be left alone. Can we not just celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? Can we not celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ, God the Son, and the Son of God, came into this world to be with us? Can we not just leave it at that? I'm not against Santa Claus and all the stuff. You know, they say, well, it's always a distraction. I understand it. There's always the Easter bunny that lays chocolate eggs. Now, look, folks, I know we're from the city, but bunnies don't lay eggs, and they don't lay chocolate eggs, okay? I understand there's always some kind of a distraction around whatever we observe as Christians. There's always something to get in the way of all that. I understand all that. But you put Santa aside and his reindeer and Rudolph with the red nose, and you put all that aside for just a moment. Can you and I not just today understand that the real Christmas story is, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God was willing to take upon himself the form of a servant and be made in the likeness of men and walk this earth among us so that he might go to a cross and pay for our sins to give us the opportunity of eternal life if by faith we trust him for our salvation. And it all started with, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know what it means? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us means there was a sacrifice made. You mean Jesus dying on the cross, Pastor? No, long before that. For the Word to become flesh. Do you realize this morning? That means God the Father and God the Son had a plan to meet the need that we have for salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. This whole thing about salvation, this is not a church thing. This is a God thing. This is God the Father and God the Son. They conceived in their plan, their thought, that you and I would have salvation. And because man sinned, oh, we like sheep had gone astray. We turned everyone to our own way. Yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the Father and the Son conceived this plan whereby sacrifice would be made and sin would be paid for. And when the Word became flesh, Jesus was willing to sacrifice himself. Listen, the Bible says he humbled himself while he was in heaven. Set aside his rights and privileges as God. Didn't stop being God. Just set aside his rights and privileges. You know, that's a foreign concept in society today. People setting aside their rights and their privileges. Everybody wants their rights and privileges. Everybody wants everybody to give them every right and privilege that they're supposed to have. And most of them don't even understand the difference between a right and a privilege. But no one has ever given up the privilege and the right that Jesus Christ did to become flesh for us. But he was willing to do that, and that's the first sacrifice made. He set that all aside. It's as if he took aside his royal robes and laid them aside and said, I will not be the Son of God in this respect now in heaven, adored and worshipped by the angels, maker of everything, creator of all, John 1 tells us. By him were all things made, and without him was not anything made that was made. Oh, that's God, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the Word who became flesh. He was willing to set that aside for you and me this morning. Think about that for just a moment. That's what Christmas is all about. May I read it specifically to you? It's in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Listen, it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There's sacrifice, my friend. There's great sacrifice. Oh, this tragedy that has struck America this week. And the stories of these dear teachers, these heroes who jumped in front of a madman and those little children in those classrooms and sacrificed their lives for the sake of those little children and spared their lives. That's a great sacrifice. Much is seen on battlefields across the world today where soldiers are laying down their life for the rights and honors that you and I and privileges that you and I enjoy. That's a great sacrifice. But as great as those sacrifices are, as awesome as they seem, and as much as heroes need to be made out of people like that and not some knucklehead who plays football on Sunday or basketball on Sunday or sports functions, but people who are willing to sacrifice the ultimate sacrifice for the sake of others, as much as those people should be heroes. No greater hero ever existed than the Word became flesh. And he set aside his rights and privileges as God to take upon himself the form of a servant and humble himself and be made in the likeness of men, ladies and gentlemen. The Creator becomes like his creation. That is a sacrifice. To walk this earth limited as a man, still God, yet man. Still God, yet came unto his own, but his own would receive him not. Still God, and yet man walking this earth. Oh, the Word became flesh, ladies and gentlemen. A great sacrifice was made. The Word became flesh because great love was displayed. Great love was displayed by this. Can I ask you a question? What does Jesus gain by coming to a manger to be wrapped in poor man's rags? Swaddling clothes, you remember now, those were just strips of old clothing that they had. And the poor that could not even afford to go to marketplace and buy a simple piece of cloth took their old clothes and cut them, tore them into strips, washed them carefully, and then they would wrap their children, their babies, in those swaddling clothes. Those are poor man rags. Jesus Christ, the creator of all that is valuable and rich and wealthy in this world, Jesus who put every diamond in the ground, who put every fleck of gold in the sand and the dirts of this world, who put every emerald and stone, precious stone, in its place, who spun the stars to their courses, who put the planets in the places where they exist. Jesus, by the way, who put it in the mind of man to design the great seven wonders of the world, would lie in a manger wrapped in poor man's rag. What does he gain from this then? Well, he came to this earth. Question, but what did Jesus gain from this? What did he get by becoming a child and a teenager and adult? Do you realize that Jesus experienced every phase of life on this planet that a human being would experience? That's so he could be identified with us and our weaknesses and our lives, yet without sin, the Bible says. But question again, so what does he gain from that? What does Jesus gain from the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? What does he get out of this? Does he get more adoration and worship? He left that behind when he came from heaven. Does he gain a greater and more honorable place? No, he's God, ladies and gentlemen. You can't get any higher than that. And I wish some people would remember that when they stop acting like God. But what does he gain? Here's what he gains. Nothing. Just demonstrated his love. That's why John 3:16 is a great Christmas verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't you understand? If there's a greater example of love that mankind could ever see today, it's none greater than looking at a baby wrapped in poor man's rags, laying in a feeding trough in a stable, because there wasn't any room for him in an inn, and him knowing that, he came anyway. That's love, my friend. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Great love is displayed for us. Do you realize that this morning? God loves you, my friend. There are a lot of things that God did in my life to bring me to my salvation, even though I was just a boy when I got saved. You know, back in the days when the fear of hell would bring you to salvation. That's not a bad thing, by the way. Salvation is being saved from something. And that's what we're saved from. We are saved from hell. There's nothing wrong. It's not a cuss word. It's a place. That's where people go when they die without Christ. They go to hell. You know, understanding and realizing I'd die without Christ and go to hell, that was part of what brought me to my salvation. But if you want to call it what put me over the top, what was the last thing, it was the love of God. I just couldn't understand why God would love me. I understood that God was love, but I couldn't understand why would God love Mike Johnson? Why me? For a period of time, I thought to myself, well, he doesn't even know who I am. But it was a Sunday school teacher who took John 3:16. And the first time I heard that verse, it stuck like an arrow in my heart. And it was actually, listen, it was comfort and yet it was convicting. It comforted me that God so loved the world and that included me. That was great comfort. But it was also convicting because if God loved me so much that he would send his son, I got to do something about this now. Please listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. That's why this thing about salvation in the gospel, this is not a peace pact. This is an ultimatum. God loves you so much, you need to respond to that love. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Whew. That's great love, my friend. That's great love that he would take those swaddling clothes. That's great love that he would take human flesh and limit himself for us. That's great love that he would walk the dusty roads of Palestine and come into his own, but his own would receive him not. That's great love that he would be rejected by those he came to love and die for. That's great love. That was great love that Jesus would be limited as a man and know loneliness and hunger and sorrow and heartbreak and disappointment and see the failures of others. That's great love that he would do all this. And it wasn't nails that nailed Jesus to the cross and kept him there. It was nails that attached him, but it was love that kept him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It also means this. It means a path was chosen. Jesus becoming a child to become a man was all for this purpose of going to the cross to pay for our sins. And humbled himself, Philippians 2 says, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now hear me. Here's what this means. You understand that the original copy of this book is in heaven. Psalm 119 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Jesus, the living word of God, the Bible, the written word of God. These two are inseparable. Him and this book. That means also this. It means Jesus knew everything this book said would take place if he was willing to make himself flesh. When it says he humbled himself and became obedient, listen now, even to the death of the cross, it means before he left heaven, he knew what he faced when he came to this earth. Now you think about that for just a moment. This tragedy that has struck America, one of the great tragedies of this thing, and there are many. These dear people got up and went to school that day like it was going to be just another day. They had no idea how their lives would be about to turn a 180 degree and be changed and altered by the madman in a place like this. Those teachers had no idea they'd be hushing their children in closets and telling them that they loved them because they thought that was the last words that they would hear. Those administrators had no idea they'd be charging a madman with a weapon and throw their lives between him and be cut down by a hail of bullets. They had no idea what they faced that day. But they heroically stepped up to do the very best they could to preserve life. Honestly, ladies and gentlemen, honestly, no more MVP awards for self-centered multimillionaires who get overpaid for underwork. No more of that stuff. I'm not impressed with MVPs of people who do it. No more statues for actors who pretend to be what they're not. No more of that. Let's put the hero awards out and make heroes out of people who really do something that means something. America's lost their minds. We make heroes out of fools. And we make heroes out of people who do not deserve it. But in a moment like that, they were willing to risk their lives and in some cases give their life. That's an amazing thing. Consider this. The word became flesh means Jesus knew that he faced a bloody cross when he came. He knew that they would take him and beat him till you couldn't even tell he was a human being anymore. He knew before he came that they'd strip him naked in public and nail him to a cross in a public place like a common criminal. He knew they would leap out of the crowd and bite him with their teeth and rip the beard from his face. He knew they would line him up in a Praetorian hall and soldiers would cloak his face and punch him in the face. He knew that he would be mocked. He knew that he would hear people say, if you're really the Son of God, pull the nails out of your hands and come down off that cross. He knew what he faced. He knew he'd face trials. Seven of them in less than 24 hours and be declared innocent in every trial, yet declared guilty. He knew what he faced when he came. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But he chose that path for us. See, it's one thing to put a baby in a manger and say, well, that's what Christmas is about. Well, the Christmas is about the birth of Christ, accepted. But that's not where the path would end. That was the start of everything. And then he would walk this earth and be sinless and tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin, the Bible says, and then give himself to a howling mob. You say, well, they came and they took him, Pastor Johnson. No, they didn't take him. He gave himself to that crowd. They drag him forth in judgment halls and declare him innocent in every one of his judgments that he would face. And you say, well, Jesus didn't have any choice. He stood before the government of man. No, Jesus could have stopped it all in a moment, but he did not. Because he gave himself to that. He had to be condemned and judged. He had to be beaten with the stripes of the cat of nine tails, so by his stripes we would be healed. Don't you see, ladies and gentlemen, the Word became flesh. He chose a path, knowing well, very well, where that path would lead him and what it would cost him. But he took it willingly. And knowing in advance what it would cost him, he did it anyway. Think about that for a moment. I want us to remember a babe in a manger, but I want us to remember that the Word became flesh. I want us to realize that a path was chosen, and Jesus willingly chose that path for us. So then, do you see why there's no salvation in any other? For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you understand that this morning? Do you see why God will not allow anything else or anyone else to give salvation to anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Do you see why Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me? Do you know why God made salvation through Jesus Christ alone and no one else? Because Christ was made flesh, walked this earth, and chose a path, knowing he would pay the sacrifice for our sins. Do you see now why a person does go to hell when they die if they don't get saved? I understand people saying, well, a loving God would never send people to hell. You know, it's not a loving God that sends people to hell, but it's a holy God that does. And the same loving God that's a holy God will send people to hell without Christ. No question. See, Pastor, come on. Now, that's not a Christmas message. Oh, it's a Christmas message. It's a wonderful Christmas message. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so you might have salvation and I would have salvation, and he's the only one or anything that could save us. That's why faith in Christ alone is salvation. You must trust his payment for your salvation. You must believe his death on the cross is salvation from hell. His resurrection is your eternal life. You must believe and then trust in Christ, ask him to save you. My Christian friend, do you understand he chose a path knowing what he faced? Do you see why then there's no reason for us to not choose a path not knowing what's ahead of us? Well, Pastor, it would just be a lot easier if we knew what we faced. Would you have left heaven and come to earth for this? Would you be willing, knowing the consequence of things? Did you ever do that when you were a kid? Check the presents under the tree. Do you ever do covert ops? Did you ever do that when you were a kid? Dust a razor blade between your teeth, 3 o'clock in the morning, crawling out in your little camo pajamas, to go underneath the tree, to cut the tape very slightly, to open the package to try and see exactly what that was? How many of you ever did that? All right, good. I just want to make sure I'm not alone. You remember the great Academy Award performance you put on when you opened it already knowing what was in there? Oh, this is exactly what I wanted. Do you remember? Isn't it amazing how much we know is coming? If you knew today what was going to happen to you this evening, would your day be better or worse? Would you rather not leave that in the hand of God and let him take care of things? See, I don't know about tomorrow, and I know the expression. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Yeah, that sounds cute, but do you live like that? Jesus came choosing the path that would lead him to Calvary and suffering and death and resurrection, by the way, and he came anyway. God asked you, child of God, to choose the path of obedience to his word and let him determine how it turns out. See, we think it sounds more difficult. I think Jesus had the greater choice. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Choose the path of obedience to God. Jesus did the same for you. That's how you have salvation. And that's what we need to do with our own lives today. Stop trying to be the God of your life and let him be the God of your life. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the real Christmas story. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?